Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Hi, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're broadcasting to you live out of Canton, Georgia. Just want to put out an announcement. If you are in the Atlanta area and you would like to stop by, feel free to give us a call or join us. We are asking that you can communicate with us via email at kogm77@gmail.com. Let us know if you're being blessed by the program. We get thousands of listeners every week, but sometimes we don't hear back from you. So we would like to hear of your correspondence and if God is placing on your heart to be a blessing. I mean, if God touched you to give $1, $1 is a blessing to the Kingdom of God Ministries. And you can do donations through our donate page. If you would go to our website, it's www.kogm.net. And there's a donate button, and you can click donate, and you can donate any amount that the Lord has blessed you to or put on your heart to bless the Kingdom of God Ministries. We don't charge for deliverance, but free will offerings we do accept because, as you know, with everything in the world, there is a you have to pay for it. I was able to take the kids down to the Martin Luther King Center in Atlanta, and just some of the things you have to pay. I mean, nothing is free. And we don't say that loosely, but we do give freely. Freely we receive, freely we give to you, the unadulterated word of God. So be a blessing to someone else and ask God to, you know, ask him what he will have you to give. Amen. We're going to open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you today. We thank you for your many and wonderful blessings. First of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, because if it had not been for Jesus, we wouldn't be here today. Lord God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that you cover us. And Lord, you cleansed us from all unrighteousness through your son, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord God, as we go forth today teaching your word, we ask that you just strengthen us. Let our mouth be a tool that we can proclaim the good news of the gospel. And we will teach the unadulterated truth, Lord God. We are truth bringers, Lord God, and we stand in for righteousness. We stand in for truth, Lord God, and we know that in all this you will get the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be continuing our discussion on the principles of faith, and I will come before you for, you know, some minutes, and then I'll turn the floor over to Pastor Bobby. But first of all, I want to read to you out of the, I guess, the encyclopedia, the word faith. And this is a noun in the faith sense of a noun. It's complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Number two, strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Faith is a mark of God's servants. And I wanted to bring that out so we can define truly, where is your faith today? What do you really have a surety and believe in sin? And as I said earlier, we went to the King Center, and I was my grandkids was just captivated because these are little guys, but they were just so intrigued on how this man, Martin Luther King, believed so much in the cause, in the civil rights movement, that he was willing to lay his life down. By no comparison is he like Jesus, but he believed in that movement of the civil rights back in the 60s, happened to be my era. And I asked the group of people we were with, what do you have belief in? What are you committed to? After those pioneers of the civil rights movement have moved on and gone on, what do you believe? What do you hold fast to? What are you willing to, if needed, lay your life down? I hope it's Jesus Christ. That's why we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Because until you get that strong commitment and that conviction, you're going to be just like Pastor Bobby said last couple of weeks ago, a wind tossed to and fro. You won't be stable. I was able to get some seeds and plant them, and I was planting some flowers on the other day, and when I got the flowers in the mail, and they were dried up, and they looked dead. But God was showing me that when you plant it in the ground, you should have an expectation that that seed is going to grow. That seed is going to come to life. What seeds are you planting today? Is it seeds of righteousness? Is it seeds of faith? Is it seeds to believe and trust God? These are the questions I'm asking you today for us all to do a self-examination. And I find sometimes in the church that we're so quick to give up on our faith and our belief on what brought us to the cross. We should never give up on Jesus Christ and believe and trust in God. I want to come out, and as I was in my prayer today, God told me, he said, there are three, he said, I want you to give to my people three principles of godly faith. Number one, he said, trust. And I want to go, you could turn with me to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, this is coming out the God's Word translation, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths smooth. Amen. Psalms 37, 5, this is talking about trust. Entrust your ways to the Lord. Trust him, and he will act on your behalf. Let's look at Proverbs 23 and 4. I hope you're jotting these scriptures down, because you can go back to these scriptures, and you can reference them, and you meditate on them. Do not wear yourself out getting rich. Be smart enough to stop. Boy, that would preach there. Because you see the church, everybody want a piece of the pie. They got to have it now. They want their steak on their plate now. But here in Proverbs 23, 4, he says, do not wear yourself out getting rich. Be smart enough to stop. Okay? Okay, and then the next point, he said, believe. Mark 9, 14, 29, Jesus cures a demon-possessed boy. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around him. Some experts in Moses' teaching were arguing with them. All the people were very surprised to see Jesus and ran and welcomed him. Jesus asked the experts in Moses' teaching, what are you arguing about with them? A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son. He is possessed by a spirit that won't let him talk, deaf and dumb demon. Whenever the spirit brings on a seizure, it throws him to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes exhausted. I asked your disciples to force the spirit out, but they didn't have the power to do it. Jesus said to them, you unbelieving generation, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him, and as soon as the spirit saw Jesus, it threw the boy into convulsions. He fell on the ground, rolled around, and foamed at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, how long has he been like this? The father replied, he has been this way since he was a child. The demon has often thrown him into the fire or into the water to destroy him. If it is possible for you, put yourself in our place and help us. They're begging to Jesus. Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. The father cried out at once, I believe, help my lack of faith. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he gave an order to the evil spirit. He said, you spirit that won't let him talk, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. You see the authority and the power in Jesus Christ, and we have this very anointing in us. The evil spirit screamed, shook the boy violently, and came out. The boy looked as if he were dead, and everyone said, he is dead. Jesus took his hand and helped him to stand. When Jesus went into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we force the spirit out of the boy? He told them, this kind of spirit can be forced out only by prayer. And you see, there's going to be some situations in our lives where you're going to have to trust, you're going to have to believe that God is able to do what he said he was going to do. You can't follow Christ and not be a believer. It goes hand in hand. You got to believe everything his word says. And I'll show you that the disciples, even this early stage of the disciples, where they couldn't cast the devils out, but you'll see later on in their ministry how they did great exploits, even to the point of giving their very life. You see, this is what we're teaching you in the kingdom of God. Okay, that was belief. And then John says, unbelief, 11:40. Jesus said to her, John 11:40. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see God's glory? I tell you that if you believe, you would see God's glory. This is what I'm saying to you today. If you believe. And then the third point he said was commitment. And this is coming out of the God's Word translation, Matthew 10:37-39. It says, the person who loves his father or mother more than me does not deserve to be my disciples. The person who loves a son or daughter more than me does not deserve to be my disciple. Whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me doesn't deserve to be my disciple. The person who tries to preserve his life will lose it. But the person who loses his life for me will preserve it. Amen? So you see, what I told you in the natural sense with the Martin Luther King, those guys got behind Martin Luther King. They supported Martin Luther King, even to the very point of them getting beat, dogs being attacked with dogs, standing up, persevering. But we don't want to do that in the church. Minute they get a little hard, we give up. They say, oh, well, I got to go on back to my profession. Because you don't want to endure anything. You don't want to take up your cross. You see what I'm saying? As someone has correctly pointed out, there was disciples, and I'm going to give you just a brief, of what they went through. Peter, where he died, Rome, Italy. When? 54 A.D. or to 68 A.D. The manner of his death, homicide, crucified, head down at his own request. Andrew, son of John. See, he said, unless you be mine, if you believe in him, you will be his disciple. This is how you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Andrew, son of John and the brother of Peter, Matthew 4:18. He died in Edessa, Greece. The year is not known. Manner of death, homicide, severely scourged and tied by ropes on an X-shaped cross where he hung 2 days to expire. James, son of Zebedee and Salome, an elder brother of Jesus, not the brother of Jesus, the Bible writer. It said he died in Jerusalem, Israel, by Herod. Martyred, 44 A.D., homicide, beheaded with the sword. That's Mark 10:39, Acts 12:1-2. John, son of Zebedee, the brother of James, Bible writer, John in Revelation. He died in Ephesus, Turkey, or Turkey, the Turkish islands of Patmos, in the year 98 A.D. Thrown in boiling oil, but unharmed, died of natural causes and buried near Ephesus around 100 A.D. Philip of Bethsaida, he died in Syria, method homicide, crucified. Bartholomew, Nathanael, India or Armenia, died of homicide, being flayed and crucified head down. Thomas Didymus died in Edessa, Greece, homicide, lanced by adulterous priest and burned up in an oven. Matthew, Levite of Capernaum, the Bible writer, he died around Ethiopia about 60 A.D., homicide, axed to death with a halberd. I don't know what that is. James, son of Arimathea, Bible writer, half-brother of Jesus, died around in Israel, thrown down from the temple tower and not dead, so clubbed to death with Fuller's club at age 94. Jude, Thaddeus, died in Edessa, Greece, homicide, crucified. Simon the Zealot, the Canaanite, Britannia, Europe, homicide, crucified. Judas Iscariot, he was the one that betrayed Jesus, and he killed himself. So he don't even need to be in running with this because he sold out the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm just giving you an example of the ones that took up the cross and followed Jesus. Matthias, he was the one chosen to replace Judas. He died in Jerusalem, Israel, homicide, stoned, and beheaded. Paul, chosen and arrested, and chosen by the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. He died in Rome, Italy, homicide, beheaded. What am I saying here? when you take up the cause of Father God, there's going to be a price you have to pay. Now, it may not be where you is being persecuted, but I don't know. You may be listening to this radio program, and you're going underground to listen to it. I don't know where you're listening from. But to those that are in America and you have the freedom to worship, you have the freedom to go to the house of the Lord, you need to be making your way to the house of God. You need to show the world that no matter how perverted that the devil is trying to teach this perverted gospel of this name and claim it and a lot of these things that have nothing to do with faith, it's more New Age, you need to make a stand. And so we're going to trust and believe in the true and living God. Then the last point that I want to make is, are you committed? See, these brothers was committed even until the very death. Commitment is a popular word in religious circles. But don't forget the commitment is a two-edged sword. When you commit yourself to God, you commit yourself to obey him, with commitments comes responsibilities. You can't say you committed to something and you won't support it, you won't go there. You can't be committed. They was committed to what Jesus told them to do. Take up your cross and follow me. My heart aches because the church, you go to church, but you won't support them. You won't even give them a dollar. We've often did some deliveries, and the first thing people say, well, I don't have any money. But if you want it, and we don't charge you, but if you wanted something in the worldly sense, you're going to find a way. If it's $1,500 or $2,000, go on a trip or whatever you want to do, you're going to make a commitment to that. And this is what we're saying. What is commitment? In the simplest terms, a commitment is something pledged. A parent promises to give a child candy after dinner, that is commitment. A girl promised to go on a date with a boy, that is commitment. God promised eternal life to be the faithful, that is commitment. Our commitment to Jesus, although the word commitment does not appear in the Bible, Jesus revealed our commitment as his disciples. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:26-27. You say, well, hate my mother. No, it's not meaning in the natural sense. Get out that carnal mindset. When it says hate that, it's talking about putting them above God. If God is telling you to do something and your parents is unbelievers, you're going to have to do what God called you to do. We must love Jesus above everything and everyone on earth. We must put him first. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:24-26. Jesus was committed upon the earth. Jesus requires a total, complete, sacrificial commitment from people who desire to be his disciples. But at the same time, Jesus has shown us the way to salvation by living the committed life he requires us. Jesus is therefore a sympathetic high priest, leaving us an example of total commitment to God, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. 1 Peter 2:22-23. Thus, Jesus demonstrated commitment. He committed himself to God by living righteously and suffering in order to bear our sins upon the cross. By his stripes, we have been healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus committed himself to God in death. With his last words and final breath, Jesus committed himself to God, complete and endless commitment. while suffering on the cross. Moments before giving up his spirit, Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, Luke 23:46. He committed himself to God who judges righteously, 1 Peter 2:23. Jesus has shown us the way. Jesus has shown us the way to salvation. Are you listening? He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. We are committed to either Jesus or to the world. Who are you committed to today? Are you committed to Jesus? Are you committed to your job? If that job tells you you got to work all night, you will do that. But, Lord, if it says you got to sit in church 1 hour, you don't want to do that. You don't even want to get up and he said, forsaken not yourself the assembling of the saints. And I thank the Lord that we have internet. I thank the Lord that we have social media. But don't use the social media as an excuse not to be committed to nothing. You can't do that because you're going to either be committed to God or you're going to be committed to the world or committed to your own carnal desires. To whom are you committed? Are you committed to Christ? Have you entrusted yourself to God? If you're committed to God, you'll put him first. You'll serve him in everything you do, not just in some things, not just in partial love or part-time love. If you're committed to God, you will entrust him and his judgment. If you're committed to God, you will work in his kingdom without distraction from the world. If you're committed to God, you will trust him rather than worry about things you can't control. If you are committed to God, you'll cast your cares upon him and trust him to deal with your problems or any situation that you may have. If you are committed to God, you won't be afraid to die because you know God will take care of you and he will take care of your loved ones and you will live in heaven for eternity. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, at that, I'm going to yield the floor to Pastor Bobby. I hope you were blessed with that. You be blessed and have a beautiful day. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I was just sitting there listening to her go forth in the word in reference to faith, in reference to the benefits of faith and what faith really entails. And I was, you know, I was saying, hey, you can go on. You can go on. I'm the type of person, I don't have to just have the limelight all the time. If somebody is going on in the Lord and God is moving, keep going. Praise God. But in reference to everything that had gone forth, and I thank God for everything that has gone forth, I'm going to bring out a little more in the continuation of this faith thing, because we have to realize something. And it goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We have faith. We have the faith in God, the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the kind of faith that Jesus taught us about, and the kind of faith that we have to exercise. And then we have other faith. We have human faith, which is much different than godly faith, because human faith always, and listen to me, it is always based on human knowledge and what you see. That's human faith. It's based on human knowledge, based on self, and based on what you see. Where the faith that God is talking about is not based on what you see, but it's based on what you don't see. And it's based on believing in God and Christ. Now, I'm going to bring out a little bit in reference to faith. Just a little addition to what is already said, which really can't, there's not too much can be added to that. But I want to bring out a few things. Now, the scripture tells us in Luke 18:8, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, when Jesus said that, he was speaking in reference to the faith that he was teaching. faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the Word of God, faith in the spiritual aspects of the kingdom of God. That's what he was talking about. Because when he comes back, there will be a faith on the earth, but it won't be the faith that Jesus is talking about. Do you hear me? It's going to be, excuse me, when Jesus comes back, the scripture tells us that there will be what? A great falling away. Now, when it says falling away, that really doesn't mean that it's going to be a great absence of people in the church building. There will be many people in the church building, but what will these people be believing? Where will their faith be? Will it be in God and Christ, or will it be in the things of the world? And that's what we're talking about today. Because it's going that way, people. It's going that way. People, children of the Most High God, we have to center our belief, our hope, our trust, our all in our all, our body, soul, and spirit in Jesus Christ. We preach and teach Jesus Christ, the cross, the Son of the living God, the Son of the Father. What Father? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because listen, people, there are many gods out there, but there is only one true God. There is only one true God. Listen to me. Only one true God, only one Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Yahushua, Jesus Christ. I said that so people wouldn't be confused, because you got a lot of people saying that Jesus is somebody else. But no, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is who we have faith in, because that is our salvation in and through Jesus Christ. All right. So the faith that the Lord is talking about when he comes back is the faith in him. All right. Trust in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, one God, one true Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right? Glory to God. Faith is, it was brought out a little bit earlier today. Faith is believing in what is true. Faith has two elements: being convinced of the truth, being certain of reality. Here it is, having evidence of unseen things, and two, believing, hoping in, embracing, seizing the truth. Okay, we'll go back to the simplest form, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, that's the faith that God is talking about. If you see it, you don't have to have faith in it. It's already there. It's already there. You don't have to have faith in stuff you see, because it's there already. But when God tells you something that you don't see, you have no way of receiving that, but yet you believe in God is manifesting that thing, then you are exercising faith. Because you're believing, you have the substance of that thing hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes us certain of realities we do not see, you see? But now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Now, faith is well-grounded assurance of that which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. Okay, I'm going to bring out something a little later. While faith requires being convinced that what we believe in is true, just knowing the truth is only half of faith. God's word must be hoped for, embraced, and seized. In other words, when we have faith in God, it's not just topical, It's real even though you don't see it. If God tells you something, children of the Most High God, you can grab it like it's real. Like it's real. Even though you don't see it, you believe it. That is the essence of our salvation. That's the essence of the Holy Spirit moving in us. That is the essence of everything that God does for us, to us, and through us. It is by and through faith, by the Word of God, via Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. That's how faith works. That's how the faith of God works. I'm not talking about human faith. I'm not talking about humanism. I'm not talking about believing in what you see. I'm talking about believing in the things you can't see, which is spiritual in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. Now, Luke 17 and 5, it reads, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Say, if you believe that, if you believe that deep down in your heart, your body, soul, and spirit is working together in faith, in belief in the Word of God, in belief in what Jesus said, you can do these things. Now listen to this here. It says, believing is not exactly the same as faith. For belief to be faith, it must write on what is certainly true. Yet scriptures give examples of situations where belief alone is required, even commanded. There is no time for evidence collection to wait to hear for certainly. Just believe. Like Peter walking on the water. Don't think, act. God even requires us to believe in him when temporarily the evidence looks bad. To trust. God requires belief and trust in moments of human weakness. But faith is what makes us strong. Faith is the state of being convinced about what we hope for. Now, I'm going to bring out something a little more. We only have about 7 minutes left. The announcement has already been made, so I don't have to go that way. Now, we have a perverse spirit that is prevailing throughout the land. And many people believe that these perverse spirits, I'm talking about the LGBT lifestyle. Hey, I don't care about getting in trouble. I'm preaching the truth. Homosexuality, lesbianism, transvestites, all these different people. You can be delivered. You can be set free. And to give an example, I listened to the testimony of an individual. I'm not going to mention any name. But this individual was bound up with a perverse spirit of homosexuality. But he didn't want to be that way. And he set to set himself free, and he got delivered from it. Now, when he had a disease, HIV. He had that disease. Now, when he got saved and when he got delivered from this, his disease got worse. But you know what he did? He held on to his belief, and he said, well, Lord, regardless of what happens, I'm going to stay saved, I'm going to believe, and I'm going to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? He got healed. It got worse first, then God healed him. Now, why are you saying this? Because a lot of times when you're exercising faith in the things that God tells you, sometimes it gets worse. Many times your situation gets worse. But that doesn't take any strength from the promises of God. Just because something that you prayed for gets worse, you don't give up. You hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to it because you're exercising faith. All things are possible to them that believe. Them that believe what? The Word of God. Them that believe Jesus Christ. Them that believe in the saving and healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hold on to Just because something gets worse, that doesn't mean that God is not working it out. Look at the young boy that Jesus cast that demon out of. Now, Jesus cast the demon out of the boy, and when he was cast the thing out of the young boy, the boy was hollering, screaming. He act crazy. He stretched out on the ground like he was dead, and people said he was dead, but he was healed. He was healed, delivered, and set free. We cannot always look at the circumstances and base the deliverance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our life on what we look at and what it looks like. That is not faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The enemy will always throw something in front of you to try to make you doubt your faith in Jesus Christ, to try to make you turn away from God. It's a tactic. It's a tactic of the enemy to try to make you believe, to try to make you doubt your faith in Christ. And that's what we're talking about, Jesus Christ. Everything that the believer has hold on is by and through Jesus Christ. The acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believing he is who he say he is. And believing that, yes, he is your Savior. He did go and die on the cross for you. That he was buried and resurrected and raised up on the third day. And that he's making intercession for you right now. That you believe that he is the Son of the living God. And that God raised him from the dead for your deliverance, for your sanctification, for you to be delivered and set free. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, because of his shed blood, you can have faith in him for your salvation. And because you have faith in him, the benefits of your faith in Christ Jesus is deliverance, is salvation, is holiness, is living upright for Jesus Christ and not bending and backing down and surrendering to the lies of the devil. That is not faith. But Jesus, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has already made the way, has already given you the strength to overcome the enemy, to put him back in his place. And the enemy's place is not in your life. That's what Jesus Christ did. That's what this faith is all about. Believe that, and see the salvation of the Lord. And see the great things that God will do in your life. Because he wants to do it. Jesus wants to do it. He's already made the way for you. But you got to believe that. You have to exercise your faith in who? In Jesus Christ. Do not believe the lies of the devil, but believe the truth in Jesus Christ. Have the faith of and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, we're going to continue more and get into deeper a revelation of this faith in Christ next Sunday on the 9th. I will say to you all out there, we thank you for listening. We pray that you all were blessed, and we pray that the faith of God be strengthened in your life. That the kingdom of God will be made manifest on the earth through you. But it will only be done by your faith in the Word of God, in Christ Jesus, in the things of God, in the Spirit of God, in the Holy Ghost. And believe and have faith in Christ and in his Word. Don't doubt. Doubt blocks and stops everything. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless all the listeners on today. Strengthen them, guide them in righteousness, Lord Jesus. Increase their faith by the word and by your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the moving of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bless you. Want to see and listen next week on the 9th. Goodbye. Thanks for listening. Be blessed.